Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. No, no, it's February. It's not November. Who told me I was in November? February 3rd, 2014. It's nearly it's nearly 5 o'clock on Pacific time, and I'm speaking with my guest, who's in Texas time, which has its own independent time zone. That is probably 1 or 2 seconds ahead of the rest of the world. It's a bit of a historic thing. The significance of the whole thing will unfold as we converse. My guest tonight, I've known for a few years now, and has always come across as a very wise and kind of Buddha-like creature. It's like quite sort of detached from the world, in the world but not of the world. He's had contact with beings from other dimensions who regularly converse with him, and we'll probably be on the show with him as we speak later. It's my great pleasure and honor to welcome Thomas Hughes. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing fine, JP. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're fine. Oh, I didn't tell anybody about your sense of humor. Well, we'll talk about that. I'm sure that will unfold. Oh yeah, it's always been it's always fun to talk with you, Thomas. And you know, it's we'll miss you. I'll miss you. You will. Yeah. Well, tonight we talk about the great journey, what you may be looking forward to, and what you may miss about where you had just been, or where we are just now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you'd like to talk about, I'll do my best.
Yeah. So, well, you know, how you got here is the order of things, isn't it? How you got here, what you're doing, and where you're going. How you got to this place is a journey through one of the most uncomfortable conditions that you've experienced, isn't it?
Yes, it's kind of like trying to run a marathon with hemorrhoids.
How about trying to run a radio marathon sitting in the same chair for 8 hours with hemorrhoids?
I was trying to show decorum and just give a little example of what I'm talking.
Okay, so we got to the bum jokes already. You know, it was a thing that. Because you used to bring me on to powwows of native chiefs who are using Skype to converse with each other, which is, you know, it's brilliant being able to embrace the modern. At the beginning, everybody was very respectful, and, you know, everybody giving each other's, you know, proper titles and clan and all this stuff, and then the great discussion. And then about three quarters of the way, the bum joke starts. It's like, you know, somebody starts talking about a fart or makes a farting sound or something, and it just dissipates from there. So it was an interesting observation. It's not like your regular council meetings. The powwow, Thomas.
Yeah, give me just a moment.
All right. Okay. Sorry. So so we were talking about these chiefs that you've introduced us to, Charles Two Dog and Gerald Whitehorse Standing, both very wise, both have suffered in their time, both have fought as warriors of words and of deeds, noble men, heroes that we don't see nowadays. So many heroes. Everybody seems to be corrupt. Everybody seems to have their little side of corruption and evil about them.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call it evil or not. I'd just say it's where they're focused at.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and again, this is why I was saying when I used to have a show on Wall Street Radio, the only thing that stands in front of all of us is choice. And they're making their choices very clear. Everyone is.
So, I've been always wondering about, you know, what's the choice? What was the big choice that had to be made that went wrong at some point?
I don't know if there was a big choice that went wrong or not. Are you talking about when this whole experiment started? Or
yeah, that sort of thing.
Well, there was a distortion amongst all of us that had to be brought back to balance. And so we set up this experiment because the distortion was not being brought back to balance with us fighting and bickering and hurting each other, really hurting each other, not the kind of hurt that goes in here. I'm talking about really hurting. And so it was decided upon by all parties that this experiment would occur and that at the end of it, no matter what, balance would be achieved. So that's why this experiment occurred in the first place. This is how slow, not low, but slow in density we went. It would be like, we used to drive a Ferrari like it was our daily car at max speed all the time. And now we're reduced to a golf cart.
Or even a bicycle. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but that's interesting because that's actually that's exactly how my personal life has been. You know, I used to have all, you know, used to drive around in the car all the time, and now I have no car. I just walk when I need to walk, and it's very grounding. It's like I've been pressed into the ground, you know, we get put at places by whoever seems to be running the show for us personally. When I say us, we, I don't like to use the term, but you know, our brother and sisterhood that is intending well for everybody, kind of thing, tends to put us, make opportunities happen that put us into places, you know, and bring
sure.
people to us. You know, bring friends to us and everything like that, in order that you look after that particular part of the earth, even just psychically, you know, just by being in the land, being
sure.
on the land. And that's something that you've helped me kind of come to terms with personally on my land. And I want to thank you for that, because I feel you know, it was a nice place to start with, and it's even better now, knowing that I've kind of got a little responsibility of it. So, thank you for that.
I'm glad I could be of service. Thank you.
There you go.
So, the experiment was rolling along and having a misstep here and there, and distortion. We're getting all the distortions out that we can. We're doing a really good job. And then we have these uninvited guests that come into our experiment and try to take it over. And so the 5,250-year cycle started. That will end at the same time the 25,920-year cycle started. And so, that being the way it is, an injection of fresh souls that are ready to take the task on, dove in, and got the uninvited guests out. And that's what we're finishing up right now. Because there's a lot of the souls that came in with that group, and there's a lot of souls that are part of that group anyway, originally, that have come to balance. And they're not sure they want to go on with the experiment, an abbreviated experiment, if you will, or the detox center that's going to be set up to help these people return to balance in one, maybe two incarnations, and they're done. They're back to balance. They go where they want to then.
So they're to experience certain levels of karma and go home. Go home. Have a rest.
You can see that reflected in the physical, because the wheel of karma is trying to stay as much as you can in the system. Money, job, status, wealth, all that kind of stuff, that's the wheel of karma. And then you can see all the people who are getting away from that, don't want to be part of the system, still using your money because I'm here, but hey, I don't want to be part of your system, I don't vote anymore, I don't participate. Those are the people that are getting off the wheel of karma.
What would you give the name of that group?
Balanced. As unbalanced as they are, I would say they're only unbalanced here in this reality. They're balanced for where they're going.
So those of us who achieve balance in this world, in this life, before you leave the body?
Yes, I don't know that we're... As we shift, I don't know that we're leaving the body. It may simply be a case of turning on all the junk DNA that's in the human skin suit.
Yeah, then, so-called junk. You know,
yeah, junk that scientists call junk, but hey, when it's energized and active, whoa, the things you can do with that.
Don't touch my junk.
Right, thank you.
Don't touch my junk DNA. Yeah, because, you know, it's not junk. It's good stuff. It's the best, actually. But it's the stuff that... it's like the nine-tenths of reality that we don't see, because we don't see ultraviolet light, we don't see infrared light, etc.
Right.
We can't hear ultrasonic. Yeah.
Right. Right. All those things. And once all that stuff's turned on, guess what? We'll be able to see, hear, feel, experience all those things again.
So,
as the Sasquatch people do now. So.
Exactly. How come... Now, and this might be why the Sasquatch don't like to be around us, is because we kind of are carrying this technological matrix around with us in some way, and you know, it's a really uncomfortable thing to be around somebody who's like that, isn't it?
Well,
if you're telepathic, you can hear everything that's going on. It's horrible.
You think? It's like trying to find a quiet place on the radio dial, the old-fashioned radio, so you have to turn left and right and dial it in. You know, it's like trying to find a quiet place on there, and you don't. Everywhere you turn, there's voices playing and things going. It's like, okay, it's really time for some alcohol and marijuana, and I'll be good. Thank you. You know, it's kind of like that if everything is turned on or partially turned on. It doesn't take very much.
Yeah, so and that's a lot of the reasons why people like shamans and everything like that, if they're forced to live closer to the people, they have to find a way of switching off that thing. And usually, like you say, it's booze to do that. People drink to forget. Forget
yes.
What? I don't know. I've been drinking.
Or marijuana, or you know, something that keeps them from being quite as in touch with this reality as most everyone else is.
So, it's been a bit of an uncomfortable ride for the last 12 years. When did this start? We were talking about this the other day. It's like there was a sequence of events, but, you know, you got hurt, didn't you? Physically.
Oh, yeah. And that started back in 2000. Actually, 2001. I apologize. That's when I came down with multiple sclerosis.
But there was, were there, you had, in, you know, physical injuries, like you had a fall, didn't you, or something?
I had a fall that was the catalyst that started the MS. I mean, I fell.
Okay, right, I think I'm back on the air. Sorry about that, everybody. Another one of those little hits. We have a bit of a storm going on here in Britain. Hopefully I'm back on the air with Thomas. Are you with me, Thomas?
No, I'm somewhere else.
Oh, that's okay. But I believe that we're able to connect you by hyperdimensional Skype, HyperSkype, which is available for a free app available from my website. Meanwhile...
let's bring back an old term, JP, and just say we're doing this through osmosis.
That's right. So, where were we? We were talking about something very interesting that then I lost the thread because I got disconnected.
Okay, let's see. We were talking about how people are making the choices clear. I remember that detailing that about the actions you see people doing are making their choices clear, whether they realize they're doing it or not.
Yeah, do you want to expand on that a little bit, Thomas?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, people are, they, it's real simple. It's a real simple thing. It's being part of the we or thinking that it's all about me. If you think it's all about me, you're more worried about job, status, title, at work, paycheck, how big your house is, what kind of car you drive, all those things. If that's what you're choosing or what you're looking at, then that's a choice. That, you know, is a very simple choice. If you're looking at being part of the we and constantly giving of yourself and, you know, showing people how to do things they don't know how to do, and you're not charging money for it, and all that kind of stuff, then you're making a choice to be part of the we. And it's as simple as that.
So, service to others. You can,
yes.
But how do you make service not be a slavery? How do we make sure that those who we're serving are not actually just slave masters using free labor?
Well, it's a very simple choice when it comes to service. Are you doing it because you feel like you need to do it or have to do it, or are you doing it because you want to do it? Are you being of service because you want to be of service, not because you have to or you need to? And it doesn't matter whether it's a powers that were, agenda junkie or what. If you're wanting to provide that service, that comes from your heart, and that's a choice, and you're not enslaved at that point. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's more about, I mean, and this is coming around to doing what a lot of people are talking about, is you can do the old way, you know, the old system, 9 to 5 work, da 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 da, you know. Everything is permission and license and registration and all this stuff. Or you can say, right, well, actually, I'm here as a being standing on the surface of this planet. What are my choices here? What can I do? How can I build a community? Can I make a clan? Can we make a little piece of the heaven that I come from?
Yeah. It's just a choice. And everybody has that choice available to them as to where they want to go. And you know as well as I do, because you've experienced it, JP, when you start making choices for yourself, things start manifesting in your life that you weren't even thinking about. And you're going, wow, how brilliant is this? It fits in with the choice that I made. You've experienced that.
Yeah. And it's part of a... It's where you turn your attention. If you turn your attention towards something, it's like that like the experiment where you heat up water in a vacuum and you heat it up to white hot, and then you let it cool down, and then a couple of days later things start swimming around in the top of it.
Right.
You know, life is. I mean, if you've got water, you know, everybody says, oh yeah, water's life. The blood is the life. Oh yeah, okay. And then everybody starts wondering, I wonder where the seat of the soul is. You know, they're just not listening to the other side of themselves. You know, by saying water is life, it's not being metaphorical; it's being literal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So we've got a big poisoned planet. The waters have been tainted. They've been, you know, somebody's applied this horrible, well, you know, this medicine to it. And you know, like we were saying, you know, it's never the end. It always seems like the end, but it never just gets to the end. Mind you, you know, things are looking pretty Endian as well, but it's never like we've all been completely eradicated. There's always a small group of creatures swimming around on the top. Do you feel that that we're in for a big scrub?
Well, I would say we're in for a big realization, because we call this reality and they call it imagination. That's where the experiment is taking place in. And all of us beings who are here, we're going through this experiment and we're doing it in our imagination, because that's how powerful we are. Because we were very much damaging ourselves in the conflict that went across four different galaxies. And Source was saying, okay, you kids figure this out, because if you don't get it figured out by the time you get back here to my doorstep, 25,920 years later, I'm going to figure it out for you. And so that's what it's coming down to, because we're going back into what really is reality. You know, anything is possible. Everything is possible. We're not going to have a need for electricity unless we want it.
Well, I want, you know, there are some people who want this new, who want new stuff, who want the thing, you know, who are looking more at being the change. You know, I've realized now, because I always used to think, you know, I wonder what's going to happen. Wonder what sort of people are going to be you know, inventing things and moving things along in the future. And it turns out to be like the people I know, you know, and that's really weird. That's, you know, I didn't expect that.
Right.
Didn't expect that.
I think Mr. Wood said it best back in January of 2012 when he told Carrie Cassidy, when she asked him, what's it going to be like when we get there? And he said, I can't find words to describe it, but if you can imagine trying to drink water from a fire hose, that's what it's going to be like.
I think that's in a way, I've felt, you know, I've had my head in the fire hose. I realize that there is a fire hose blast that is here, and I, you know, kind of, you have to kind of get used to it.
Yes, you do.
You know, once you stick your head down into that pipe, it the stuff does come thick and fast, and it's like some of us have been tasting that stream early on. And I believe that's because of galactic alignment. You know, that you're tuned into galactic frequencies, yeah, rather than being confined to the Earth frequencies. It's like having one of those old-fashioned shortwave radios that's got like 9 different wave bands on it, you know, going all the way up. And I think that's the natural human. The organic, yeah, I've got an idea of like an organic transhuman, with like the next stage of evolution is basically all of the things that we have been messed about with to take away from, which are then restored from us, restored to us, plus what we already were. So it's like we've been absorbed by the Borg, and then we grew and spat the Borg out of us, retaining all the good things that the Borg had given us. Does that make sense?
You didn't hear anything I was saying about your funny looking head, did you, JP?
My funny looking head.
See, Francine was sitting here going, "You're not on mute. What if they heard everything you're saying?" I'm like, "They didn't hear what I was saying. That's why I was asking you. Did you hear what I said?" I'm sorry, JP. 50-50.
You are a bad man. Bless your heart. So, So were you actually listening to what I just said? Do I have to repeat myself? Yeah, anyway, go on. Say what you want to say.
Part of what you said I heard, but I was rudely interrupted by a 5'1" pea pipe pixie from Long Island, New York.
She's come a long way.
Yes, she has come a long way. She's laying on the bed, loving on my 87-pound Catahoula female that looks like a cross between a greyhound and a bull mastiff.
That sounds like it might have a bit of momentum. Do you team them up? You team these boys up and get them to schlep you around town?
Well, I don't know what's going on, but one of my relatives has already called her the White Tornado, so there might be some merit there to what you're asking me.
Yeah, well, you know, Wolf Baby, my girlfriend's got a husky, and I'm thinking about making a little sledge for him. Come on, boy. They love it. They love being, you know, having a purpose, knowing that it's, you know, they have a thing. Anyway. Huskies, Catahoulas. Yeah, so you have a friend there who's helping you through these days, eh?
Yes, we've teamed up and become a wee.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. So, where do you want to? Where we forgot is that we were talking about your fall. Yeah, I think to me that is the most important point, because that's the trigger, and I'm all into the trigger of things. When, yes, you know, when things could have happened, and what was going on before that, you know, like the whole 9/11 thing. I was just chatting with my friend. The whole 9/11 thing is like what happened the day before and what was supposed to happen the day after. Those are very important points as to why 9/11 was placed right there. And, you know, it's that whole story about the gold and China and all that stuff, Building 7, you know. So triggers are very important.
Yes, they are.
Mm. So tell me about the fall.
The fall.
Mm.
Which fall are you referring to exactly? Because I'm kind of off track to
serve that. The one where you hurt yourself.
Oh. I was working on the back of a truck. I was 5 feet in the air, and I fell off the truck and landed on my back and whacked my head on asphalt. And that was the catalyst. 2 weeks later, I went double vision, and everything kept cascading from there ever since, until I'm where I'm at now, which is bedridden most of the time.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And, Tell us about your life before that.
Well, before that, I was just trying to find a place to fit in. I mean, I went from job to job, trying to find a we that I could be a part of. I never could find a we that really want to be around for very long, honestly. But I managed to make my way. And I worked in the oil field and heavy construction and heavy equipment mechanic. I was those kind of things up until I fell off that truck. And that's when I went into doing tech support on computers, when I moved up here to where I'm at now, which is away from Houston, about a little over an hour away from Houston.
So it's you've been able to support yourself because of, you know, through what you know rather than what you can physically do, which is great. And then we, how long have you been? Let's rewind that. Tell us about your early life with the ET and Sasquatch contracts. Have you got an ET contract?
No. And so, are you referring to the point where I I made the statement I did, or the point where I first saw Sasquatch, or where I began experiencing them, where, how far do you want me to go back?
Inkling, because there's always this like a little Tinkerbell going on thing, that something's not as everybody else says it is, that your experience is slightly different. When was the first time that you actually had that thought that, hang on a second, this is not what everybody thinks? No, not everybody gets that. Or maybe you might have even thought for a very long time that, oh, everybody experiences that, don't they? Kind of thing. What was it right for you?
Well, I want to incorporate some stuff from Dolores Cannon here, since you pointed certain things out to me that I wasn't aware of with her. I just want to point out in that link that you sent me here a couple months back, or a month back, however long ago it was, Dolores Cannon talks about how in her hypnotherapy sessions with people, they talked about a pulse of energy coming into this reality, this earth, whatever you want to call it, in 2006. I don't remember the exact date she said, but that's in there in the video. And so I'm sitting there seeing part of my life and how it unfolded, because it was in October of 2006 that my now ex-wife and I both received our layoff notices, along with 65 other people at the same time, right there in October 2006. I'm going back a little bit further, because I want to build a chronology to why I'm where I'm at now.
Okay, so in 2006, you and your current wife at the time, you were employed at the same place, and everybody got the sack, yeah? Is that sort of what you mean by that?
A lot of people got the sack,
yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, a mass unemployment moment. So there was everything was hanging in the air, and you could choose, you had freedoms and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
Yes, and I applied for several jobs. I interviewed for two jobs, and I couldn't get a job. So I applied for disability there in 2007. So my ex-wife did the same thing, and the best job she could get with her skills and experience was at Walmart. And so in 2008, I was at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, and I said the words out loud. I said, I don't know who's listening, but I'm done. D-U-U-N, done. And spelling it like that to emphasize just how done I am. Then I said the word but. But, if you want me to stick around for any number of reasons, you have to give me at least one reason to get up every day. And I left it at that. And it was 2 months later that I saw a Sasquatch female in person, just 50 feet away from me, down at my family's place. My family has 900 acres just 10 miles down the road. And that's where I saw her at.
And that was 2006 still?
No, that was, we're moving up to April of 2008 at this point.
2008, right.
Yes.
So you're a bloody cheap date. I normally say, look, give me three reasons to have a good day. You know, I suppose I'm hungry like that, but there you go.
Just one.
So just one reason. Yeah.
As big a train wreck as this life had been up to that point, just one reason was enough. So I'm still here.
So in 2008 you had your first meeting, your first, well, I mean, you had you seen, no, not word seen, wrong word, bad word for it, I haven't, there is no word for it, the several words is, had you had in that time a form of telepathic contact that you later recognized as the telepathic contact that you had with this this Sasquatch female?
No, not up until I began mind speaking with her and having that validated that I ever experienced that with her before.
Right. So, and when you started mind speaking, it wasn't like, oh, this is familiar. I know this feeling. Tell us a little bit about mind speaking. I mean, it's you use it in a way because it's so common to you. It's like the way we use Skype, which is an essential form of magic, right? Skype is magic. Sure. How does it work? You know, it's like I got this little box in my hand, and I can talk to anybody else on the planet using this little box. For free. You know, I don't have to pay anybody for it. Telepathy. What's the sort of, you know, can you hang up on people? Is it, you know, is there a video option? Is it audio only? You know, tell us a little bit about how, and also, what the hell? How did that happen? How did you suddenly start mind speaking with someone?
Well,
too many questions, I know, sorry.
No, mind speak is sometimes verbal words are what you would perceive as verbal words in your head, but most of the time it's images, impressions, emotions that come through, and so the communication involves sometimes several things at once. And you just know, and then when I got, shall we say, acclimated to mind speak, they ramped it up, and there were times when I would receive what I call signal bursts. So that would be like, kind of like seeing an email to somebody that's 4 pages long, but you know, it only takes a second to send it, but when you open it up, it takes you half an hour to read the damn thing, you know. So I started receiving signal bursts, and that was kind of a pain at first, but I got used to that.
All right, yeah, so I get similar things when I speak with my guides. It's like I send a text message and I get a zip file back. You know, so
yes.
Inside the zip file are text, words, feelings, you know, like you're saying. All these things, all in a bloop, single flash that's kind of almost like it's arriving in different parts of your body all at the same time. So yes. That your eyes see it, your ears hear it, your stomach, you know, all the different sensations occur simultaneously. And some people would call that a knowing, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, and what it's doing when you receive that information and you're able to disseminate it to yourself, what's happening literally is that some of that information is not part of this reality. And so what it's doing, it's energizing certain strands of DNA just long enough for the concept or the information to come through to you, and then it turns off. But you got it. You got the information. It's in your brain, and you can interpret it. You can realize what it is. But just for that moment, one of those strands of DNA, this junk DNA, goes active until you disseminate that information. Once you do, it goes dormant again, or turns into junk again.
So, you could say that it was a temporary radio station that gets set up in order to transmit that information that you're receiving for that moment, yeah?
Pretty much. It's kind of like if you've ever been in a club and they have lots of lights on the ceilings, and you watch those lights, and very seldom do you see certain bulbs light up. But every once in a while, flash, blash, and your eyes are like blind to frame because they lit those bulbs up. It's kind of like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The xenon. Xenon bulbs. So, the process of telepathy is a two-way street.
Oh, yes, very much it is.
So, have you figured out how to send back an information pulse yourself? Is that something we learn?
Well, yes, sometimes I do, and it's a matter of accumulating information that you're trying to disseminate to them over, say, a 3 or 4 day period. And you just open a file, and okay, this message is for Mr. X. I thought about some more things, blah 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 blah, and I'm adding that to the message that I'm sending you, so it's in the vault now, or the packet. when I get ready to send it, I will. And so once you put the, once you put those thoughts that you're trying to transmit into a packet, then you can transmit the whole thing at once, and they get it. They'll even acknowledge receipt.
So the cosmic internet basically already exists. It's just that I think science fiction films, you know, is something I've always enjoyed, and now more and more I'm starting to realize that these cartoons that I watched when I was a kid with all these animations and Star Trek and The Outer Limits and all that was all training videos, really, sort of manuals. And the news was the fiction that we had to watch out for. but yeah, that's what it seems to be these days, is that everything's upside down, and that which was fiction is now turning into reality. Partly because the realm of the imagination and manifestation is becoming a reality. So we're now able to transmit our thoughts and make them real, you know, like the idea of a 3D printer. You know, imagine in the 1960s, oh yeah, we'll have a machine that will make things, and now we've got them, you know, and you can 3D print a gun or something, you know, equally, like, how could you do that 20 years ago? You can do that now.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on right now, and one of the concepts they put across to me today is that everything did end on December 21st, right on schedule. But there's a type of simulation running for all of us to make very clear choices about where we want to be, so that when it's time to continue the experiment, go to detox, or go to the new reality, we can make clear choices, not stupid choices like we've been making for most of our, if not our entire lives. I love everyone out there. Thank you for putting up with me.
All right, so let's talk about those choices then.
Sure.
Presumably there are more than two choices available.
Everything, yeah. Well, one thing that they, because we have a tendency to try and complicate everything, we've been taught to do that. So they try to simplify the choice. You know, it's either the we or all about me. It's either love or fear. You know? And so it's very, very simple when it comes down to it. And all those things, all those different words we use to describe things and complicate matters even more, they all funnel down into one of those two things. And takes a little tuning, a little calibration maybe on your part to understand that a fart is not a fart. It's your asshole trying to tell you something, a prophetic message. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I had to 50-50.
It's all right. We're halfway through the show. No, we're a third of the way through the show. And so I suppose to kind of tie this segment of the show together at this moment, you know, bringing this, yeah, all right, there's the photo. Anyway, next.
I do express regrets for that one. I'm sure it was kind of shocking to some of you folks out there, but occasionally I do come up with some very colorful anecdotes.
Indeed. So, meanwhile, yeah, so we're talking about how these films and all these shows introduce us to concepts, and it's our ability to understand that concept and sort of roll with it and allow our imaginations to accept that as a reality allows that to become a reality. Or we could say that when they were making these things, somebody had already thought of that and had built one, and they were actually using these devices that you see. It seems to be more in line with in those days. They were very much like a documentary version of what they were actually doing, you know, because we've spoken with William Stillings, right? And William Stillings was actually walking down the time tunnel that we saw on TV. He was actually doing it for real. Andrew Bashago.
Yes.
You know. How did you feel when you first discovered this? I mean, because I certainly thought, wow, I totally feel vindicated.
Well, I don't care about feeling vindicated. I only care about going back to balance. That's all I care about. That's all I'm focused on. Okay? So by saying that, I'll just say this. Movies like Battleship, people may think are cheesy or whatever. But what if that's what happened? And instead of showing us, letting us see it on CNN or Fox News, they show it to us in a movie. What if Vehicle 19, the movie Whistleblower, actually did happen? But instead of making it public to everyone so that they could be full of hate and revenge and all that stuff, what if they showed it to us in a movie? Because, you know, John Carter, that's another good one to, I mean, all these movies that have come out showing us K-Pax, well, no, that's not showing us how they're wrapping it up. I know it does, but it's not. And so, what if they're showing us what has already happened through movies, and it elicits an emotional response? And maybe it elicits several emotional responses. What if somebody keeps watching it until they come back to balance and they get to go to the new reality field on this planet instead of detox or continuation of the experiment?
So it's a, what's the word? A catharsis device. By watching a movie, you get to identify with the characters, both negative and positive, and you see the unity in both of them. You see the...
look at Iron Man 3 and what they did in that movie. You know?
What were they showing us in that movie? Remind me?
Like the guy said at the end of the movie, I mean, it's easy to manufacture someone. Look at an Osama bin Laden or a... whatever that guy's name.
They created the false flag terrorist. That's right.
Right.
Yes.
They're showing us that.
Yeah.
They're showing everyone that. And you'll either get it or you think, wow, it's a great special effects movie. Okay. Well, you want to go over here in this sandbox so that you can continue to all your neighbors instead of walking in harmony with everybody. They just want to stick their tongue. I'm sorry, I'm 50-50, I know.
I'm going to have to explain to everybody. Thomas thinks, I came up with the name 50-50 with Thomas, which is, 50% of the time his stuff is real spot on and really funny. And then 50% of the time you just wish he wouldn't have said it. But anyway, there we go. Awkward moments we have known. Oh, I love you, my friend. We're looking at...
The best part is we survived all of them, JP.
Yeah, well, I'm amazed, we see all these things, and then we hear all these rumors, and then suddenly I'm speaking to this guy who says he lived in Area 51 and says he comes from the Hollow Earth and all of that stuff. That was quite strange, and it turns out that he lives in Dave's town, and so Dave said, that bloke who walks around in a frock.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, but that was quite an adventure.
There is some anecdotal evidence, JP.
Mm-hmm.
That we are in a simulation right now until we all figure out whether we want to come back to balance or keep going on with the experiment or go to detox. There is anecdotal evidence. Has anyone noticed how it seems like time is going faster and the days aren't lasting as long? What the hell? It's still 24 hours a day. Yeah. I remember seeing all 24 hours pass, but hey, it's like, wow, the whole day went by in like 4 hours.
My son, who is 17 years old, has said, the weeks are whizzing by, Dad. 17. Now, normally when you're 17, days last quite a while. When you're 6, days seem to last forever, don't they? I'm going to have to ask some 6-year-olds, do you think the days have gotten faster? Because, you know, those are the, before you're seven, you know, days are infinite. God, things, you know. But anyway.
You know, when you're 17 years old and you're still in the public school system and you're having to put up all those things, days can seem like they take forever. Days seem like they're weeks. It's like, God, I'm still here. It's still Wednesday. When is Thursday going to fall? You know, and he's saying that it seems a day goes by and a weeks go by in a whiz. Yeah, he's feeling it. So I will definitely put the word anecdotal in there ahead of evidence, because that's what it is. Just, there's no way to connect the two that I can find at this particular point in the event stream.
So, last year I had these big waves. I felt them. They felt like I was on the beach, and a big wave just kind of and splashes and knocks me over, you know. It had an effect on my stomach, and it affected the way I felt about food, and changed a lot of things about me. And I got infusions of energy and infusions of insight. And you know, there was one in April, and there was one in November, and one in December, and I think we're just kind of on the edges of another one. And what I'm feeling is that eventually the waves will come so thick and fast that there won't be any pause between them. They'll just keep going. And I think that time is going to be about April time. It's like an intensification without any let up.
Yes, and for myself, and some other people that I still talk with, we're not talking to the Sasquatch people quite the same way as we were, because they've made it very clear to us they are over in the new reality already. So all I could say about that is the communication is very much changed, and that's what they've made us aware of, those of us that communicate with them actively. And so I'm sitting there going, wow, okay, you guys shifted over. That means it's not going to be long before I shift over. When you're ready. When I'm ready. When you're ready. Like, okay. So I guess it's a when you're ready type thing. Face palm.
You haven't quite finished, as you think. But soon. Yeah. And sometimes we are not aware of things. We're not aware of things in ourselves that we think, oh yeah, I know myself completely. But we don't always everything. Not everything. Yeah. So, you know, there's always something that will trigger you. That will eventually get you to the reminder of that.
Yes. I'm completely with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to go or not.
That's right. This comes under the classification of isn't life wonderful?
No comment. Yes, and I noticed it's been quieter and quieter, and I don't see as many people anymore, and you know, things are just noticeable. Maybe not in a big way, maybe just in a very slight way, but I'm noticing these things.
There you go, putting a log into the fire. I don't know if you hear that slamming noise. Yeah. Trying to jam a slightly oversized log into a slightly too small stove. Thomas Hughes is my guest tonight. We have been discussing some of the journeys that we've shared together, and we'll be speaking about further journeys down the road. So where we were at last time, John? Tom?
That is a very fine question. I wish I remembered.
So, well, let's just continue on, and we'll tie the threads together.
Sure.
So we were talking about the Hollow Earth people. That's right. And the idea that there is a hollow earth and that your people have said, yeah, that's kind of true and all of that stuff. So are they going to experience an expansion in the planet? Is there going to be events that go on in the inner earth, do you know, that are going to correspond to these events on the outer earth, or is it just like the crust?
Well, I don't have exact information on that simply because I have not asked about a lot of that. What I can tell you is that all the changes that need to take place on this planet have already taken place. We're just not aware of it. Because we're in this shared imagination, holodeck, whatever you want to call it.
We're still in what Rebecca calls the construct.
Thank you.
And yeah, let's talk about this, because there have been certain times where reality really kind of juts out and peeps through into our perception that is coming through. It's like it bursts through the facade, or the facade kind of melts away, and you see what's really going on behind it.
Yes. They allowed in the reality that we're still living in, they allowed for those L-shaped ships to be detected by NASA and NSA that are parked behind the moon, ready to tow it away. And in point of fact, they've already towed it away because Mama Shuttle already birthed out the new moon from the center of the world. We're just not aware of it yet, because all of us are still making our final choices.
All right, Mama Earth birthed out the new moon when and how and through what orifice?
Oh, that would be the South Pole is where it came out from. And so it caused just like you were talking about with how the continents split and spread, it caused another expansion of the Earth when it did that. So more land is available now because there's a bigger Earth and there's places that water needs to fill in because it's now bigger, and so that makes less water on the land than there is right now.
And so there's a new moon, or what are we watching? A projection? Is this a hologram happening thing? I mean, people have been saying that the new moon, or the moon is looking quite weird.
Yes, because they're altering things in this reality all the time, asking the question, when are you going to figure it out? Are you going to come back to balance, or are you going to stick with us? And they're asking us all that question. Some of us are still here, while souls that we're attached to in some way, shape, or form, they're still unable to make up their mind, and so we're still involved with them. And they're kind of holding us back, and we're kind of pushing them forward, and that's why you're hearing about all these people with deaths in the family or a friendship that had been around for 20 years, all of a sudden it's gone, marriages breaking up, divorces occur, on and on. Can you think of other examples? You know what I'm referring to.
Well, there's status, you know, relationship change is a generic term for that, I think, because everybody's, you know, when, for instance, the mother of a family dies, usually one of the daughters kind of was like a kind of sub-mother. They would, you know, the deputy who would do all the party organization and remember all the birthdays and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes the family would just fall to pieces.
Yes.
And sometimes that there would be somebody who kind of takes over. But they don't always have the heart, you know. It's like sometimes the mother gives the heart to one child and the head to another, and it's not in the same place. Families are weird. I love the way that qualities get passed down from both parents into the different children, and, you know. It's great.
Yes.
I love that.
So I asked them about that. I said, how's this going to work? with you causing these kind of separations going, how is that a benefit? Well, think about it. If you talk to a person once a week, they're still an active part of your reality. But if you have an argument or a disagreement, and you go your separate ways, you don't see each other for 3 months, and you try and look that person up, try and call them, they've changed their phone number, they've also moved, they don't even work the same job anymore, how are you going to find them? How are you going to know if they're alive or not? All you can do is hope for the best of them. So that's one of the reasons these kind of separations are going on, because people will not even realize if that person's alive or not anymore. If they're still in this reality or not anymore. It's the way I prefer to put it, but alive or not is the way souls and human skin perceive everything. There's no such thing as death. You know that.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, one of the questions that I've asked everybody forever is, how do we hook or unhook ourselves in and out of the skin suit? And how come we're able to do it while we're dreaming, but we can't just say, okay, I'll have another one of these because I've worn this one out?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, I know. You know? And I'm sure you ask yourself the same question. Or I'll step out of this, you repair it, and I'll come back. I suppose that's what we call coma. I've been there.
Yes. It gets very interesting with some of the things that are being performed at this time or that are occurring. But yeah, it's getting closer and closer. When exactly the shift point will be, I don't know. Nobody knows. But it's coming. And it's just a matter of deciding where you ought to be.
So, there's, like I said, you know, I felt them in April and November and December quite intensely. I felt them. And, I don't imagine that I'm any kind of sensitive psychic, but, you know, others are unable, you know, I feel these things and I feel a bit sleepy and everything. And I'm talking to all these mediums who have been like guests and stuff, and mediums and psychics, and like they're not even awake enough to call me to tell them how sleepy they are, or right. how they're completely laid flat by this whole thing. It's very interesting.
Yeah, with you saying what you just said, I'm sure you've spoken with people who have been sleeping more.
Oh, totally.
Tired.
Yeah. Not only sleeping more, but sleeping different.
Yes.
So, a lot of people, and yeah, actually, this is a very interesting thing. A lot of people are like sleeping for a few hours and then waking up and not being able to go back to sleep again. Oh, there's me kettle there, and there are times when they get tired in the day again. And I'm saying, well, what's going on here is that you're actually feeling tired, and that you should go by feeling tired, go with the feeling of feeling tired and take a nap. Have a small nap. What's your thoughts about this? Because, you know, it's time, it's like the amount of time we spend awake and the amount of time we spend asleep, that's what we call a day, isn't it?
Yes. But a day is one complete cycle around the sun. You know what I mean? Or where the earth rotates and the sun appears on all parts of the planet. That's a day. 24 hours. So, you know, this is why I say, that's why they tell me that they simplify things as much as possible, because we complicate. Okay, I'm sorry for the language right away. I'm saying my regrets to folks, but we complicate shit endlessly.
Well, this is a very interesting thing. Let's just have a quick talk about this, because I find this fascinating. All right? We call a day the period between sunrise and sunrise. Okay?
Right.
Sunrise, round the sunrise again. So that's a day.
Right. But then we have an accepted standard definition of a day. It's from midnight all the way around to midnight again. That's a complete calendar day. So there's a complication. There's daylight and there's nighttime. It's part of the same day. Or is it part of tomorrow? Or was it part of yesterday? See, we're complicating things again. There's the morning, there's the midday, there's the evening, there's the afternoon, there's the nighttime. I mean, how many different ways are we going to split that hair called a day?
Well, there's, because we have cycles of sleep and we have cycles of hunger.
Sure.
And so our day becomes a cycle of sleep, and then awaking, and then some eating, and then, well, for me, you know, lots more eating, and then eating till the time that you feel sleepy, and then you sleep. And then right. You wake up, and the whole process starts over again. Maybe even in the middle of that kind of bit where you're eating, there's some working. That sounds good. Maybe a radio show or two.
Right.
You know? And then more sleeping. But I believe that that period of time... All right, so here we go. We have no words for this, right? So, and what's interesting, okay? So our perception of time appears to be that time is speeding up. And yet, according to the mechanical devices, which we assume are running in a linear fashion... We are assuming linearity of the material world, where it doesn't seem to be, right? So we assume that when you're looking at a clock, it's going to keep ticking, and it's always going to tick in a very regular manner.
Yes.
And because of the laws of physics, currently, that's what happens. But if the laws of physics changes, or space itself changes, and thus the laws of physics change... this is the question, does everything change at the same time? So if there was a change in the nature of space-time that we're perceiving with our minds but not experiencing with our bodies, we're feeling something with our minds but we don't feel it and sense it with our body, that's coming along, and we've also got a no, I have lost it. Yeah, because a few seconds ago I thought you've lost the plot, Perrin. So I went.
I know what you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of get along with me on this, yeah?
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking when you're talking about the smallest changes change everything. Yes, I do. For instance, a bird flies over a pond. And the bird drops a dropping, and the dropping hits the water. Well, and that's a very simple act, right? It's just one little bitty thing. A bird took a dump, okay? And it splatters in the water. What happens because of that one simple act? Let's see, there's ripples in the water. We call them waves, but they're really not big enough to be waves. And how far do they go? We don't really know, because... they get smaller and smaller and smaller, and we don't have instrumentation or anything to measure how much of that wave is hitting the shore hundreds of feet away because of that one bird dropping. And then also, that bird dropping's in the water, and now it's breaking down, and you're getting fertilizers and other things from that bird dropping in the water. And how many things does that affect in the water? So yes, one simple thing, one little bitty thing can change everything. And it does. Is that a good analogy, or should I try harder?
So, everything in the universe is connected with everything else in the universe. And
yes.
The wind that is blowing a hoolie out here is connected to all the other winds that are blowing elsewhere and making weather nice in some stadium or somewhere. Yeah, interesting. Anyway, so we're looking at changing the universe that we live in and deciding, choosing which universe we want to live in. Now, so the question earlier was the choices that are available to us to become service to self or service to others. Yeah,
talk, even those terms
their judgments. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they carry a connotation with them that doesn't exactly or accurately describe what it's about. I mean, you're being part of the we, and so you're contributing to the we. And if somebody is having a difficult time doing something, and you add your muscle or your weight or whatever, that's being of service. And so that part of the we, that persons are going to remember that. And so when you're struggling with something, that part of the we is going to be right there saying, come on, let's get it done. We got to get it done. And so we lift each other up. That's the Cherokee motto, lift each other up. So we keep pushing and going and being part of a we that gets stuff done. We don't argue and bicker anything like we're doing right now. We express our opinions, it's considered, then we go forward and we do what we is doing, and we gets it done. Is that making sense to you, or
stuff getting done without an ego getting in the way?
Exactly. Because you know what, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if the we is in balance, then me is doing real good. I don't have to worry about me, because if I start to get out of balance, the we's right there, and they're going to say, hey, hold on a second, you're tilting a little bit too far to the left or the right, bring it back to balance. And that's what the we does for each other.
A bit like if you're in a boat and you need counterbalancing. You know, you have to have people leaning out over the sea in order to pull the boat upright, to balance it up.
Well, you know, the me is part of the we and wants to be part of the we. And the we is part of every one of those me's and wants to be part of every one of those me's. So the me benefits the we, and the we benefits the me, and that's what being part of the we is about. It back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, constantly, with no ego involved.
In the transaction, but you can still be your own personal self. It's about not feeling threatened by anybody else, isn't it? Which is essentially loving someone.
Have you ever seen a wolf pack that does, and talk to people who deal with wolf packs, that each one of those wolves has a individual personality, and yet the wolf pack is a we, and when they all set their focus on the same thing, it gets done. It all gets done. There may be some bickering, some arguing at times between the different me's that are part of the we, but the we all comes together when it needs to come together, and it benefits everybody. It benefits the we. Is that making sense?
Yeah. What we call enlightened self-interest. I got that from a sci-fi movie as well.
Yes. You can look at it that way. Certainly.
You know, but if I benefit this we, then I'll have a better life. It's easier. Interesting. So, looking forward, go on.
So it's as simple a choice. There is no right or wrong in this. It's just simply where you want to be and what you want to experience. And that's all it is. Some people are really excited about this way of life. I don't know why, but they are. And they really want to enjoy it some more, because there's so much more they haven't experienced yet. And so they're wanting to go on with this way of life. And there is no one that's going to tell them that they can't.
So the choice is to make a choice. And if you don't make a choice,
That's still making a choice. Right, even not making a choice is making a choice.
Mm-hmm. But by now, most people should have a really, really good idea of what they don't want.
Oh, you would think.
You'd think. And I think really that it's the idea of taking stock, taking inventory, and actually writing down what it is that you don't like, and using that to balance. You know, how do you put that into balance? You know, what do I like?
I do have to. I promised someone that I would do this, and so I am expressing regrets for not remembering this sooner, but I beg your indulgence, folks and fans, not that I have any, but I...
Oh, they're both in the chat room.
Okay, well, I wanted to say hello to the mighty and powerful Red Queen. There, I did it.
Hey. The great and mighty Red Queen. And
yes,
we'll see if there's any lightning bolts that destroy you.
At least she graduated to the mighty Red Queen, because when she was the Queen of the Hearts, all she could say was, off with their head.
More pepper, I believe.
Right.
So, yes, and talking about other people, we did. We sent a healing to you last night at the in the healing show, which is about this time of night, and so we sent a good blessing to you. So feel the love, Tom. There are people here who love you.
I did, JP. I was enjoying a therapeutic session of Purple Widow.
Right. Okay.
Name.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I was enjoying it's like purple passion fruit or chasing rainbow Skittles. I mean. Anyway, it's some really fabulous.
Yes.
Stuff.
Well, that's good because it's organic material that has been lovingly bred and blessed and given new life, so it's always good to see new vibrations coming onto the scene. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, and really, this is what we're talking about: making a choice of deciding what we don't want, or recognizing. You know, by now we should recognize that whatever in the world makes you angry is something that you don't want. Anything that makes you feel fearful is something you don't want. And the choice that we have to make is the choice to say, actually, I don't want that. It's not a big deal. It really isn't such a big deal. And the whole thing, you know, taking responsibility about it, it's also not a big deal, but it's made, you know, it's supposed to be a big, heavy commitment, but it really is just really... You know, living a life, being normal.
Right.
You know, being.
I just stay focused on what I want. I don't enter the word "don't" into anything. I just stay focused on what I want, because the things that I want, if I stay focused on that, the things that I don't want never enter the equation. What I want is balance. And all things, balance everywhere. Because balance is what it always resolves to. Always. So I want balance. And it's that simple. And again, keeping it simple.
So, in fact, 50-50 is a very appropriate nickname for you.
You think?
Perfect balance.
That's right. Half the time you will tell good jokes, and half the time you will scare people.
That's a good way of putting it. So, yeah, and it's always interesting, you know, as from the perspective of healing people, it's like in order to gain compassion, you have to help somebody see your side of things, or the other person's side of things. And you've often been able to very, very clearly place things like that. for people.
Don't ask me how I've done that, JP. It's a miracle to me too.
You know, it's really, you think out loud in a way of how you do it, and you just express that in the moment.
Kind of like the way I pay for pizza when they come and deliver it. I pull out the money, take as much as you need. I don't know. I keep trying to do change and dollar bills, and I have to do it in the moment. I can't do fourth grade math anymore. It's so scary.
What's fourth grade? How old are you in fourth grade?
Let's see. It's 10 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, 11.
That's all right. I don't get this grade thing because we don't have this in Britain. And,
oh, okay.
It's really weird that a lot of the idiomatic things, like, you know, using the school grades as a gauge of year, it just doesn't come across. It's really strange. You know, we have the same thing. You know, we have a phrase, it's so sixth form. And sixth form is, or even upper sixth, which is, it's the year of 17, 18. And, you know, you're sort of almost ready to go to college. And you're full of that, full of that arrogance of youth. And it's just perfectly ripe, just ready to burst, just ready to be plucked. And that's sixth form. So, you know, it's the same sort of thing. I don't know what you'd call that. What is it?
I'm not sure what I would call it or what the word is for it, but what I'm really focused on when you're talking about this is, again, you were talking about today. Look how many ways we split hairs on time. The way you guys do the calendar is just a little bit different than the way we do the calendar, and it's probably a little bit different than the rest of the world does the calendar. You know?
That's right.
How many different ways can we split hairs?
That's right. I mean, it's just like we're being set against each other, because
we're
being led to believe that we're actually speaking the same language, and the same symbols that I'm using come across. But it's like there's this brilliant Star Trek episode called Darmok. Do you remember that one?
Not off the top of my head.
And the first thing that this guy says to him, to Picard, is, you know, Darmok, Darmok of Tanagra. And he's like trying to, and like an Englishman who's trying to say things over and over again in a loud voice in order to make them clearer and more understood. You know, Darmok.
Are you talking about the episode where he was put on a planet with the captain of another ship, and they had to learn how to communicate? Is that the episode I'm thinking of?
I think perhaps. He'd come across that race before in this episode, Darmok. It's called Darmok, D-A-R-M-O-K. But these people spoke in idiom. And if I'd like to say, it's like, you know, when people say, you know, Justin Bieber's just been arrested for being a twat. What's the thing? He was driving a limousine. So they've called it something like a, you know, I can't remember the name, but it's like a twatazine or something. And because you know, just messed around with the words, but it's to create a symbol. Like,
yeah, you're going way back. Well, think about it. I mean, the language that we use, we're painting a picture. In other words, we're trying to get across the experience, what we've seen when we speak words.
Yeah.
But it would be like the way they spoke in those ideograms, like that. It was. It was like a really bad version of Yoda. You know?
Uh-huh. Oh, dizzy. Yeah, people are getting dizzy. I keep getting dizzy. In fact, it's a kind of dizzy that I like. I mean, I'm kind of seeking it out, in fact. Have you experienced this kind of slight dizziness that's been... It feels to me that's what the wave feels like.
Well,
this dizziness.
Just to answer your question with clarification, I've had vertigo since 2006, but it has taken on an extra spin for me to the point where I can barely walk anymore. You know, because I keep trying to go in this direction or that direction, and I'm having to take small steps so I can manage the direction I'm going in most of the time, because my vertigo has gotten worse or taken on new qualities that weren't there necessarily before now. So yeah, I am experiencing that as well. But I've been experiencing it since 2006. Welcome to my world.
So is it possible that actually instead of being ill, that you're just being able to sense on a very fine level something that everybody is going to be feeling in a few years' time?
May not be a few years. They may not ever feel it. Again, it comes down to choice. If you're going to continue this way of life, you're not going to experience these kind of things because you're wanting to stay here. Mm. So you will. Because for those people that are wanting to continue with this type of lifestyle or way of living, they're not going to experience those things because that would not be conducive to them staying in the way of life that they're living right now, would it? Mm. But all the people that are like, you know, blow, we're done with this. All those people, they're experiencing things. All of them are. All over the world.
So when we're talking about 2012, 21st, this brings us to a question that Norma's been bringing up. When we come to, everybody says, oh, well, nothing happened that day. To me, a lot of things happened, and they were subtle. But I've been waiting for the subtleties. I look for subtleties. And, you know, sometimes you can feel like it's like a huge block of stone that just kind of slides and drops into position at the last moment. And I'm sure that you get those feelings too.
It was very, very curious to me. I'll speak on that. What I experienced a few days. It was on the 28th of December that year of 2012, and it was conveyed to me by the beings that I communicate with that they were so happy to be able to talk to me because they haven't talked to me in so long. And I said, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And they said, well, you know, your powers that were in that reality, they couldn't see beyond December 21st with any degree of accuracy, because that's why they took down Project Looking Glass, and the Yellow Book or Yellow Key, whatever the heck it was never reliable. I said, yeah, I know about those things. What about it? Well, because you were still in the experiment and it wasn't over, we could not see further past the date of December 22nd. I'm like, okay, I don't think I want to know what that means. Good, because we don't want to tell you. I'm like, great, I'm going to drink my coffee now. Thank you. That's kind of the way it goes. Got an issue?
You see, when they said it was the end of the world. No, it was the end of their world.
Well, I think that... You know,
when was it? Just after about 3 months later, the Pope resigns. Yeah. You know, 6 months later, the Queen resigns. You know, that's the end of their world, isn't it? It's like,
pretty much.
You know, meet the new boss. So... that's the question. We don't need the system. We need to create a hybrid, traditional, modern system.
I don't know.
It's system. I don't like the word system. It imply, you know, it's relationship. It's like, well, a group relationship that doesn't work in domination. It doesn't work in domination. That recognizes the sovereignty and individuality of every person, and intelligently creates an organic organism group that has a consciousness that everybody is involved in. It's a kind of individualized hive mind, pod thing.
Yeah, and one of the people you can look at for that that gives a fine example of that, and plenty of videos on YouTube, is Tellinger, Michael Tellinger.
Yes, contributor.
In South Africa. Right, and him and the Ubuntu movement over in South Africa and the communities they're putting together, and these communities exchange goods between each other. Well, I'm growing this, but I don't have that. Hey, we're growing that. Let's exchange. And they go through this whole thing of exchanging energy for energy, life for life, force for force. They are a we. And so that's the kind of movement that is spreading all over the world very slowly.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, you know, for the last 3 years, Dave and I on Wolf Spirit Radio have been broadcasting using the Ubuntu system.
Yes.
Which is a free operating system. So basically, the Ubuntu idea has created something that enables anybody for free to create their own media. Now, we're doing this, you know, we've been doing this for a little while, but this is the pioneer. In 5 years' time, everybody's going to have a radio station.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have a chat room, you know. It's going to be awesome.
Well, yes. Absolutely. So, it's moving, and you can see it. It's moving. So, we're getting to the point where choices are being made. And people are leaving. Like, what's his name? Philip Hoffman, that OD'd the other day. An actor that nobody knows his name, but everybody would recognize his face, probably, from movies that he's been in. I'm having a difficult time enunciating words for some reason, so slap me upside the head, JP, if I get too...
I'll just go and get my salmon.
You know, just... I'm having a difficult time enunciating words accurately so that I'm not misunderstood.
Oh, Lord, please don't let you be understood. don't let it be understood. Yeah, that's exactly right. I shouldn't do this. I always get things round the wrong way. If it's possible to get something round the wrong way when you're trying to be meaningful and you get it, you know, you're trying to say something about being too yang or too yin, and you say the wrong one, it's like the other left and the other right. It's just useless. So sometimes I think I should just give up and leave it alone. Anyway, at least if somebody wants an advert done, I can read it out for them in a nice voice. I don't know. I suppose, yeah, it's about, you know, being regarded as a journalist or something like that. I don't know. Because the words don't come out right, so, you know, you can't rely on it. But you can look it all up. I do talk about stuff that everybody can look up. You can check out on Google. You can check Thomas out on Google. I'm sure you're on Google. What happens if you... Do you ever Google your name?
Yes, and it comes up with a listing of radio shows that I've done before this one.
Excellent. And presumably this one too.
Yes.
So, we got 20 minutes, Tom.
Okay. What shall we do for 20 minutes?
If this was the last thing that you'd ever say to the world, have you said everything? Make your choices. You got your choices.
I would say to everyone, no matter what someone says to you, does to you, or what the government is doing, or what they're doing at work, or anything else, don't ever quit being yourself. Make decisions for yourself. Don't let somebody else to make choices for you. Make your choices and feel good about it. How's that, JP?
You can say a bit more.
Oh, I'm sure I could. Yeah. I don't want to scare people, though. You know, I have a tendency to do that, JP.
Well, so. Actually, maybe it's time It's around that time that, you know, that time of the conversation when, you know, things are discussed that are of a organic nature. Because that's the way it goes here in the powwow.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks so much, Thomas. You've been a great friend. You've brought people together. I mean, people in general may not know who you are or what you've been doing, but you've kind of weaved your way through an awakening world and made some connections between people.
Well, I just want to say that I maintain my story that I think it's the ultimate joke of the cosmos on all of you fine people to connect you through me. Yeah?
Well, yes and no. It's always yes and no. It's a digital thing.
Oh, well.
But you've brought some interesting things to the table. Yeah. Sani. There was a guest that we had on the show who claimed to be the reincarnated E.T. who crashed at Roswell and died, incarnated as this person called Sani Sito, and was like the most... She could sense everything. She was like a completely open book. She had none of our human kind of dullnesses in sense. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the way that people are kind of screaming and with all the voices in the head, she can sense all that. So the only person that she could talk to was you, who could kind of put her in a quiet space. Do you want to talk about that interview? Because that was, to me, that was a fascinating insight, and you know, that's something I really want to thank you for.
Well, my experience with Sani Sito was an interesting one, to say the least, and it was part of the path I was walking, if you want to put it that way, okay? And so my objective and the thing that I was always trying to do was to help her stay in balance, because it is real easy to wake her right out of balance. And if that happens, she's still autistic, and if anybody's ever been around autistic kids or anyone with autism, it's not pretty. It's a little scary at times. So I always tried to help her maintain balance, and when I spoke to her the first time before we did the show, Dale Benedum was on the call as well. He set the call up on Skype. So, excuse me, she was talking to us on her cell phone while we were calling her on Skype. And so she got a beep on her phone for call waiting, and she wigged out because she's talking to me and Dale, and she didn't want to be disturbed, and oh my God, and she went off the deep end. And Dale was not only feeling her energy, but was giving it back to her, which was amplifying the situation even more. And I got loud on Skype and I said, Sani, focus on my voice. It's Dale and me and you on the call right now. We are the only people here. No one else exists. It's just us. You're okay. You are okay. And I just kept talking to her that way. And in less than a minute, she calmed down and came back to balance. I just stayed focused on bringing her back to balance. I didn't focus on the energy she was feeling or the distortions that she was feeling. I focused on her coming back to balance. That's all I did. And it worked. And that's why I was able to I was able to talk to the beings that are keeping a very direct connection with her and watching what she's going through in this experiment, because there was a mishap, as you know, and so she's here, they're not, but they're making sure that everything is going the way it needs to so that she can be of benefit, because that's really why they were coming here to begin with. She's being a benefit in her own way to this whole experiment being wrapped up. And she's done a really good job. And they were talking to me, and I don't know if Dale remembers or not, but, you know, she was on there, and I said, okay, Sammy, there's three beings that are directly connected to you. One is female, two are masculine, and they keep tabs on you, and they talk to you just about all the time, don't they? And she goes, yes. I was tapping into the things that were around her while I was on that initial call with her. A little freaky. But hey, it worked, right?
Tell me about their energy then, because...
Well, you were there, weren't you?
Well, I was listening to the call that you made with her for the show.
Okay.
I was there, on, you know, just live at the time and doing the recording and everything. But I wasn't actually on the call.
Right. And the way the interview went, and it's on Blog Talk Radio at Sasquatch Spirituality or Sasquatch Spirit. Put that, search it on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll find it, and the show page anyway, and it's an archived episode. The whole time I was interviewing here, what I did was I basically let them take control of my mouth, and they were the ones speaking through this body, more so than I was. And so questions were coming out that she could easily detail information about things that are going on in her life and what she's experiencing, and how those experiences relate directly to where we're all going. So I invite anyone to go back and listen to that episode if they'd like to. You might even want to put a link to it, JP, on your...
And certainly it should go onto YouTube. Is it made into a YouTube?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. We're talking about Sani Sito, and it's... I think there is in the Wolf Spirit Radio archives somewhere deep in the early days, Dave might be able to pull it out, this very rare groove interview, as it were, with this being who says that she was the Roswell alien that died, basically, and where she comes from and what their agenda is, and she's got some very interesting viewpoints. And basically, you know, that she's outlining why a lot of the ETs are not very happy with humans.
Mm-hmm.
We smell bad on lots of levels. On lots of levels, you know.
Right.
You know, on a telepathic level, we're not contained. It's like, we need a kind of telepathic nappy, don't we? What do you call it? Do you call it a nappy? Diaper. You know?
Yes. We are a little gelatinous, if you will.
Icky. So it's like, you know, sticky, icky babies that need a bit of cleaning, and there is no wipe. There is no suitable wipe for us to get rid of this stuff. We just basically, we need to be able to see that the effects of our... See, what it is that our thoughts are affect a world that is invisible to us. So it's like, you know, we're blindfolded. And we're swinging a sledgehammer around, and everything around us is made of glass, and we just don't know it. We just can't see it. It's not part of our world, so we carry on doing it. But everybody else, all the other inhabitants of this universe, see that, you know, we've got some nice qualities, but we've got this blindness. We need to fix the blindness, don't we?
Well, I would say yes to that. But I would also say that people's free will choice is always going to be observed. So it's really up to the person's choice as to whether they want to look or they don't. And I do apologize for the pit bull puppy that's whining, but hey, that's what puppies are good at, right?
Oh, don't worry about the puppy. At least they're not barking. yeah, so 2011, 11:05. So it was November the 5th, 2011. Remember, Sani Sito.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. So what's this thing? Thomas, is that the same as channeling them, or was it different? I'm not sure that what Bright Eyes is asking the question of, actually. But anyway.
If she could give some more details, that'd be great. I'd be happy to take a stab at answering that question.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes. All right. There's from Dale. Thank you very much, Dale. He's given me the link, so I'm going to paste that in the chat room of War Spirit Radio there.
And well, bless his little pointed head.
Little head. Excellent. Give him a pat on the bottom for me. Anyway, oh, Dale, bless your heart. So, Thomas, it's been a few years now. We've seen some ups and downs. And, like you say, you're ready to let go of this place. And, return to a place that you know.
Yeah. I am. I'm ready to be back with my family. And they're already over there. And I'm like, you guys didn't take me with you. Well, you've still got some stuff to do. Thanks. So, I just can't wait to get over there. You know? I mean, I'll have health again. I can play hide and seek with the Sasquatch kids. We can go and scare people and stuff, and yeah, we could go running with the wolves, and hey, I bet I can run faster than you. Let's see it. Okay, I got four legs, you got two. Let's go. You know, and we just have fun all the time, and it's the way it is. We live.
To a greater life, Thomas.
Yes.
I raise my mug of tea.
Every day is Saturday, and every night is Friday night.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Most days, yeah. Dale's just put the, you know, there's a little Skype icon, the mooning one.
So right, right.
Dale has just mooned me. Funny, bless your heart, and your hemorrhoids. Obviously, he's presenting in order to have his hemorrhoids healed by the. Oh no!
Well, I got to make him a little bit jealous today. Okay,
go for it.
Because today, Dale, we ate $41 worth of Mexican food from La Casitas, and I had that oh so delicious bean soup that you missed. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he types to that. probably about three or four assets on that one.
Yeah. So everybody's. I think I'm just going to just paste it in there again. The Rev Radio. That was an awesome interview with Sani Sito, and we had a round table afterwards, I think, and we spoke about it. But
yes.
I just wanted to, you know, highlight this because you've got a history with us that is buried in the archives and buried all over the internet. So,
Dang, I want to ask you a question before this whole thing wraps up. Is Red Queen there, or is she? Oh, it's never mind.
Red Queen has never been away. The Red Queen is always there. Good night, everybody. Thank you. This has been Journeys with JP. Good night, Thomas, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.